This is Rusty Tanton.
And this is Amber Ray.
And you're listening to the inaugural edition of Mostly ITP, the first podcast on Georgia's first podcast network, the Georgia Podcast Network. Let's see how many times we can say podcast.
And Georgia.
Podcast.
Georgia.
Podcast.
Okay. So what's this show all about?
Well, mostly what we're going to do is tongue each other's genitals.
Interviews. And interviews.
Of people.
A little of both. And you'll just get to listen and see what happens. You're never going to know which is going to happen in an episode. Is there going to be more genital tonguing, or is there going to be more interviews with, you know, influential members of the community? You just don't know.
Or maybe we'll tongue the genitals of influential.
Okay, maybe we
okay.
Maybe that could not get us sued.
Okay.
Anyway, so first of all, we thought that you should know who the hell we are and why we think we need to be doing a podcast. So the first two episodes are introducing the two of us.
Awesome.
So for the first one, I interviewed Rusty. Want to give a little background?
Well, yeah, where we were at the Thinking Man Tavern in Decatur. We were actually visiting Drinking Liberally to have a talk with them for another podcast.
Drinks.
Yeah, and a lot of drinks. In my case, I had six of them. And as I finished each beer for this podcast, Amber asked me a serious political question.
I got him liquored up.
Yeah, I got kind of liquored up. But, you know, to my, credit, I was sort of sick. You know,
he talked a big game beforehand, said he was going to have 11, 12 beers.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bitch. I only had six.
That's all right.
Well, anyway, so I guess I should introduce myself a little bit, or maybe you're going to introduce me.
I think I should introduce you. Rusty is my goddamn boyfriend. He writes a blog called Radical Georgia Moderate, which, as you might imagine, is at radicalgeorgiamoderate.org. That hints at his political views, but we delve a little deeper in this interview, and we find that, well, we'll find what he thinks about religion in particular, and Republicans.
I think my post called Debunking the Christian Nation Myth was probably a good indication of where my religious views were, but this will be a much more entertaining version of that.
So, let's get to it. This is Amber Ray, and I am here outside the Thinking Man Tavern in Decatur with my goddamn boyfriend, Rusty. We thought that you might want to get to know the people behind the podcast. So tonight we've got some questions with Rusty to see who he is, what he's all about, and what he thinks about the important issues of the day. Now, it's going to be an exercise in multitasking. After each beer, he will get a serious political or social question, and we'll see what he has to say.
Sweet.
And does he have anything to say right now?
I'm just looking forward to this. The way this is going to work is I'm going to get progressively drunker and answer questions.
And we'll see if he gets more or less articulate. Should be interesting. Stay tuned. All right. This is Amber. And Rusty has finished his first beer of the night. So that means it's time for his first question. So, Rusty, tell me, does the media have a liberal body?
I don't know. I think, you're starting with the easy ones, huh?
I thought that was an easy one.
Well, I think there might have been a day, like, if you read some of the books, like the one I read recently, there was a day when they were very segmentized the way Fox News is, and they had very clear biases in the newspapers. But then it sort of evolved into this point where they were going for objectivity. It's not as if I don't think there's this massive conspiracy, you know. I really just believe that editors try to do the best they can to present a balanced presentation, and sometimes one group of people is a bigger set of assholes than the other group of people, and in turn, when they call them out for being assholes like that, they get accused of bias. So that's my answer.
All right, great. Well, we'll see what happens after beer number two. Stay tuned. Rusty is at the end of his second beer, so it's time for another question. All right. Is Bush a liar for claiming not to know that the levees were at risk before Katrina, now that we know that he was in a conference about it 2 days before the disaster?
Well, I mean, my instinct with Bush is to generally think that he was probably lying. I mean, it sounds like he probably was. I haven't read up on it enough to be able to give a definitive answer, though. My automatic assumption with Bush is that, yeah, he's probably lying. But, I just can't trust the motherfucker, is basically what it comes down to. He is, you know, used up any capital he might have built up to be trustworthy.
So that's a yes.
I'm going to go, well, it's like I said, my guess is yes. I haven't read up on it enough to give a definitive answer, though.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Rusty's guess is yes. Well, that was fast. Rusty's at the end of his third beer. Time for another question. Rusty, what effect do you think the recent South Dakota ban on abortion will have in upcoming elections?
Well, I think it depends a lot on whether the Supreme Court strikes that down or not. It's such a strategically short-sighted thing to do that the South Dakotans did, because it's way too radical. The way that the Republicans have been successful at knocking down abortion rights is by doing it very gradually, a little bit at a time. Yeah. They do it in such a way that people don't notice. It's something that I believe even Alito wrote about in the early 80s when he was doing work for the Reagan administration. I think that's it. I might be wrong about that, though. He recommended a strategy of gradually whittling away at the rights, as opposed to trying to just do this all-out, religious war that they're going
for. Well, he probably didn't say whittling away at the rights, but I take your point.
As I recall, he said something very close to that, but that was the basic idea of it. And I think it's very short-sighted, but I have an idea that striking down Roe v. Wade isn't necessarily the end of the world, because then it puts abortion rights into the Congress. And any congressman who voted down abortion rights would pay a price for it. He would not have a career anymore. Or she would not have a career anymore. And, it's something that could be bad short-term, as in there might be an election cycle where abortion rights were severely hampered. But as far as after that, any politician that wanted to have a career would have to vote in favor of abortion rights. And at that point, if it was voted in by Congress, you would not be able to strike that down. There would never, ever be political support to strike that down. And Republicans, yes, would never have any electoral traction with that issue again.
All right, thanks. Keep drinking. All right, we've come to the end of beer four. Things are getting louder and rowdier here at the Thinking Man Tavern in Decatur. It's time for another question for Rusty. If the NSA wiretapping can prevent another terror attack in the U.S., isn't it worth it despite all the cries about infringing on civil liberties?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not against wiretapping as a whole. What I'm against is the idea of getting of an executive running free without getting warrants and without any congressional oversight. I mean, that's a pretty standard answer, but that's pretty much how I feel on the matter.
Would you like another question while we're at it?
Yeah, why the hell not?
All right. What place, if any, do so-called moral issues have in the political sector?
Very little, except from the standpoint of, are people hurting other people? For instance, I don't want to tell anybody they can't drink. I don't want to tell anybody they can't smoke pot or shoot coke, or snort coke.
Four beers, people.
Shoot heroin, whatever. I don't really give a shit what they do as long as they're not hurting other people. Where the government's role comes in is, are people getting into cars and endangering other people?
Well, they would argue that, for example, if you have an abortion, you're hurting someone else because the fetus is a life, they would say.
Well, you know, the fetus doesn't become alive until probably about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months into a pregnancy. And, you know, my personal philosophy might be that I sort of start to cringe at those really late-term abortions, but there's so few of those relative to where most abortions happen that it's not really that big a deal the way that the religious right would make it out to be.
Good answer. Have another beer. All right, just like that, time for another question after beer five. Rusty, tell us, is it fair for the media to post articles on how Americans can save money by not over-contributing to taxes and allowing the feds to collect on the interest? Or should the government be able to keep that on the DL?
You threw me off with that mention of DL.
Cells
is that they're not able to morph into anything the way that the embryonic stem cells are. And while it's not that the adult stem cell research doesn't have value, because it does, the embryonic stem cell research has the potential to have more value. And from that perspective, I think the Republican bill is a bad bill. The main reason I think the Republican bill is a bad bill is the wording of it is really loose. It leaves a lot of what they call wiggle room.
Is that what they call it?
They call it wiggle room. For interpretation, there was something like 10 years of jail time and either a $10,000 or $100,000, or I don't even remember what the fine was, but it was a lot of money for people who participated in what their definition of human cloning was. But the problem is that their definition was so much broader that it could apply to a lot of the things that are necessary for embryonic stem cell research. I'm really not that drunk. You know, the problem is they want this medieval state that just won't even do anything in the name of scientific advancement. You know, when they deal with embryos or stem cells, they only need to be harvested for 3 days. You know, that's not a life. And, you know, it's not like they're pulling babies out of women's wombs at 8 months and saying, here, we need your stem cells. Arr, let's eat the fetus.
Wow.
You know, these are three-day-old embryos. That's not a life. You can get a stem cell out of a cell that's 3 days old, and there's no reason for that not to happen. If it can cure diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and some of the other bad shit that goes on in people's brains.
Well, there's our server, so you better get beer number six.
You're goddamn right.
We have come to beer six, and this is going to be the final beer for the night. That means we have one last question for Rusty. Is it acceptable for faith-based organizations to receive federal funding if the work they do with that funding is not at all affiliated with their faith?
Well, you know, you get into a problem of enforcement there. Philosophically, I would say yes. Pragmatically, I would say no, because they give these groups all this money, and they have all these little loopholes where they can get out of it. Like, for instance, they bring in homeless folks, and and they give them a choice, and they actually have a choice. You can either write a 1,000-word essay, or you can listen to this Bible-based presentation. Well, they had a choice, didn't they, to get a place to sleep for the night, but, you know, it's not really a choice.
That's the kind of thing that you do with a 2-year-old to get them to, you know, go to bed.
Well,
do you want to go to bed, or do you want to, you know, I don't know, do something else that they clearly don't want to do?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, clearly, if my choice, if I'm a homeless person and I'm just looking for the least hassle possible, my choice between writing a 1,000-word essay or sitting in the church pews for an hour and listening to some fucking pastor proselytize, you know, my choice is going to be to go sit in the pews and listen to the fucking pastor proselytize. Now, you know, you get into a question of effectiveness, but they can convert maybe 1 out of 10 that way. You know, I don't know what the exact numbers are for how
many
people.
It's like a spammer mentality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they throw as many up as possible and see how well they'll stick. But you know, my general instinct is no. I don't think these organizations should be receiving federal funds, but I am biased against religions. I think the idea of organized religion is stupid, and I just can't imagine grown adults believing in fairy tales, but that's me.
Well, on that note, this has been an enlightening interview. You've met one of your podcasters now, people. You know about Rusty. Next time, you'll get to know all about me. So I guess that's it from the G-Man Tavern, Drinking Liberally. See ya.
So now you know all there is to know about Rusty, or at least as much as you can know about him after 6 beers. Next time, you'll get to learn a lot of interesting things about me, including my bra size and whether I am or am not. Are not?
Are not. Ain't.
Am not.
Am not.
You know, actually, linguistically, ain't is correct. It was used in Middle English, but I digress. Anyway, next time you'll get to hear about me. Rusty will be interviewing me, getting me liquored up. And, yeah, I hope it's been a fun time.
Until then.
See ya.
And now, a public service announcement.
Hey, kids! I've heard a new friend! We're out on the playground and we're playing and we just, like, got excited and stuff and just, like, I twisted my knee and I'm all excited and then my friend Gene came up and said, "You should try marijuana." And I'm like, "Gene, you're 35! And Gene was like, "I know I'm 35, but you should try this marijuana because it's awesome." And I was like, "Yay! Marijuana! Fuck yeah! Let's do it!" Because I was only 7. And now I'm 16, and I have a drug habit, and I live in a homeless shelter. Don't do drugs.